Hare. Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tiravanachari Yamuna Tiravanachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Girivardhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tiravanachari Yamuna Tiravanachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari
Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Ashtotara Shata Shri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Shri Shri Kishore Kishori Ki Jai Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki Jai Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 6, The Activities of Lord Rishabhadeva, Text Number 3. It says 5, 6, 5, isn't it? Kamo manyur mado lobha Shokha moha bhayadayaha Karma bandhascha yanmula Svikuryat konu tad buddhaha Kamo manyur madolobha Shokha moha bhayadayaha Karma bandhascha yanmula Svikuryat konu tad buddha kamo manyur mado lobhah shokha moha bhayadayah karma bandhascha yanmulah svikuryat konu tad budah. Ladies, please. Kamaha, lust. Manyuhu, anger. Madaha, pride. Lobhaha, greed. Shoka, lamentation. Moha, illusion. Bhaya, fear. Adayaha, all these together. Karma bandhaha, bondage to fruitive activities. Cha and Yatmula, the origin of which Svikuryat would accept. Kaha, who? Nu, indeed. Fat, that mind. Buddha, if one is learned. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The mind is the root cause of lust, anger, pride, greed, lamentation, illusion, and fear. Combined, these constitute bondage to fruitive activity. What learned man would put faith in the mind? Purport. The mind is the original cause of material bondage. It is followed by many enemies such as anger, pride, greed, lamentation, illusion, and fear. The best way to control the mind is to engage it always in Krishna consciousness. Savai manaha Krishna padaravindayoho. Since the followers of the mind bring about material bondage, we should be very careful not to trust the mind. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmelitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishnam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patita Nam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shubhasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the main lesson is, do not trust the mind. And Prabhupada tells us, we should be very careful not to trust the mind. Now, this list is almost like someone's resume. Prabhu, what are some of the great qualities of a person who follows his mind? And he says, kama, lusty, manyu, angry, madaha, proud, lobha, this greed, shoka, moha, bhaya, lamentation, illusion, and fear. And these things constitute what's called karma bandha. We've been hearing about hridaya granthi, the knot in the heart. This knot in the heart has certain characteristics, certain features. And our Vedic system doesn't leave anything vague. It's specific. It gives a clear indication. What is the issue with the knot in the heart? Because of false ego, which is the original reason by which the knot is happening in the first place, this knot becomes tighter and it creates certain feelings and emotions that drive the person to do or not do certain things in life. And those are called fruit of activities. That means, rather than be driven by the desire to or the motivation to please Krishna, one is driven by these qualities. Whatever one does, these are the qualities that drive the person. Kamaha, lust. For me, the whole Ramayana is still, I haven't gotten over it. It's such a wonderful, wonderful pastime of the personality of Godhead. Ravana is the quintessential lusty fellow. His greed is so intense that the personality of Godhead, see, Sri Vaishnava Acharya, some of them explain that Sita Devi is like the conditioned soul. She's not, but to give us an example, that she has been captured, she has been kidnapped by greed. The conditioned living entity gets kidnapped by greed and is hidden or trapped in a palace of gold, because greed and lust are signified by or symbolized by gold. And it takes the personality of Godhead, who is the source of love, to go bring that conditioned soul out of the clutches of greed. So for lust and greed, the only antidote is love. Love of Godhead, not love of this world. Unless there is a loving relationship with Krishna, the clutches of lust and greed cannot vacate our hearts. And so we notice that to the degree that our loving feelings, even if not loving feelings, something in the neighborhood of loving feelings, when they begin to awaken or when they start, even a little glimpse of it, they begin to replace the lustful, the greedy considerations that a person would make. So Lord Ramachandra, to bring Sita Devi back, that's the bridge. He's called Baddha Setu. One of the names of Lord Ramachandra is Baddha Setu. There was a devotee here who drew all the Dashavatar pictures on the temple. It was in Baddha Setu Das. Setu means a bridge. And the personality of Godhead with himself and through his agents, whoever it is, with his agents, connects with our heart, makes a bridge that allows us to move from that lustful, greedy condition out to being with him, in a relationship with him. And he has many assistants to help him. But it requires love. And in the Ramayana, this when Lord Ramachandra and Ravana are fighting, Lord Ramachandra shoots many arrows and chops off heads of Ravana, one after the other. And as one head would fall away, another head would come. He would shoot another arrow, cut off another head would come. Ramachandra got bewildered. What's going on? I'm shooting these powerful arrows, cutting this fellow's heads off, and they keep coming back. So Ramachandra was told, well, Ravana, his entire potency is hidden in his heart. You have to pierce his heart. Cutting off his head will not work. So it's described that for lust and greed, cutting off the head is the intellectual adjustments. And if we make intellectual adjustments, one after the other, those adjustments don't work. They may momentarily go away and then they manifest again. What is required is the transformation of the heart. Until that happens, lust and greed will not leave us. So when finally Lord Ramachandra shot him in the heart, that was the end of Ravana. So this karma bandha, and he says, karma bandhascha yan moolaha. Moolah means the root cause. So the yan moolaha, the root cause is the mind. And so we're being asked again and again, please do not trust your mind. And the mind is so convincing. It has such a strong voice. In fact, we are completely surrendered to the mind. And whatever the mind says, we accept. Yes, this is true. In fact, the mind has impeccable logic and reasoning as to why we should listen to the mind. So in Ramayana, when Dasharath Maharaj had given the word against his desire to banish Lord Ramachandra, everyone came and told him that you shouldn't go. You shouldn't go to the forest, because Dasharath Maharaj's statement cannot be considered as a valid statement, because he made that statement or that declaration to send you to the forest under the influence of his nagging wife. You should not listen to it. He gave in. It was a weak moment when he agreed to that condition of sending you out. So as a king, he has spoken when his full faculties were not alert, because it's injustice. So even if you don't follow, you'd be perfectly all right. And Lord Ramachandra said, it doesn't matter what logic we might present. From the standpoint of morality, ethics, all of the things that seem logical and rational, you're right. That is true. But for me, that's not what's important. What is important is the word of my superior. He has said I should do, and that's what stands above everything else. In fact, rationally speaking, ethically speaking, morally speaking, all that is true. Yet, but that's not what I'm looking at. Because this is how the mind dictates things. Oh, Look at this logically. Logically speaking, is this right or not? Yes, that's right. But what stands above logic, rationality, all of that, is the relationship of the heart. In fact, it is the relationship of the heart that carries one beyond these things. When Yudhishthir Maharaj was asked, speak a lie. Logically, it's just not correct to do. Ethically and morally also, not okay to do. But what was important is, Krishna said to do so, therefore we will do so. That is what's the connection. That's the way this mulaha, the root cause of material bondage, karma bandhana, starts to loosen. This manyaha, anger, lust, these things go together. So, lust and anger, pride and greed, and these three are triplets. Shoka moha bhayadaha. In fact, in Bhagavatam, these three are always talked together. In the first canto, 7th chapter, is the glory of Bhagavatam is being described. As said, Yasyam vai shruyamanayam, Krishne paramapuruṣe, bhaktir utpadyate pumsa, shoka moha bhayapaha. Shoka, lamentation, illusion and fear, they always go together, they're buddies. The three stooges, I guess. Shoka, lamentation, is a quality of a person who can never be satisfied with life. Meaning, always looks into the past and wonder and is sorry about what happened. Meaning, nothing to learn from it. A thoughtful person learns from whatever has happened and uses the lessons so that in the future, these things, when these situations are presented again, that they will not fall in the same trap. But a lamenting person, because a lamentation is a characteristic of the mode of ignorance. Mode of ignorance means cannot recognize what's going on, it cannot learn anything from it, and doesn't care. It's just... the only thing is to look back at the past and say, oh, you know, I wish it were like that. I really wish it was not like that. And they use that as an excuse to not do something in the future. It's a complaint. Blaming attitude. So putting too much into the past is illusory because past is gone. The only thing that we can get from the past is a good lesson. But one doesn't get that lesson because of moha, illusion. Shoka and moha. Moha is the characteristic of not seeing reality. The word maya is that which is not. So we see something. No, we only see something. We experience something. And maya means not seeing it in the spiritual perspective. Not seeing it in relation to Krishna. That is called maya. Anything. Any paraphernalia. Whatever it is. When we see it in relation to Krishna, it becomes divine. And even the divine things, when we don't see in relation to Krishna, they become mundane. So the training is for us, from Prabhupada's teachings, is to progressively start seeing everything in relation to Krishna. Otherwise, the moha continues. The biggest primordial moha is aham mama iti. I am this body and things connected to this body or mind. So one who thinks like that, he is gifted with bhaya, fear. The fear that what is mine will be taken away from me. Fear that whatever I worked for, I will lose them. One who doesn't understand the transient nature of matter becomes fearful because he thinks that matter will remain eternally. But anything material will change. So one who's Buddha, learned, if they understand, oh, this is temporary, this is not eternal, then they are not disturbed, frustrated when the thing changes. In this context, we hear the story of Lomasha Rishi. Lomasa Rishi had a benediction that from his body only one hair would fall in one day of Brahma. And he would live as long as he had even one hair on his body. That means very, very, very long life. Very long life. And he used to sit outside and do his meditation. So his disciples thought, it's very hot, the blazing sun. Maybe we should construct a little bhajan kutir for him. And so they asked him, may we construct this a little place so you can sit peacefully and meditate? So Lomasa Rishi told them, don't waste time. Life is too short. Because even if he had the benediction of a very, very long life, he still knew that it is ephemeral. So from our context, things may look very long, or almost eternal, permanent, but they go away. In fact, even the miseries, if one understands the transient nature of this world, even the miseries go away. All we have to do is be tolerant. That is Krishna's instruction. Don't get too attached to the happiness because it's transient, it'll go away. And don't be too bothered by the misery because that too will go away. And just so learn to tolerate the situation. So Narada Muni also describes that these things, it doesn't matter, they will come and go on their own, of their own accord. But a person puts all of his or her attention on the real things of life, the eternal things of life. So the first instruction is, get the mind in order. Savai mana Krishna padaravindayo. Because the lotus feet of Krishna is the place of eternality. That's where it begins. Get the mind into shape. So for a yogi, that's the whole purpose. In the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, Prabhupada describes that the whole idea of spiritual life is to get the mind in order. We've been reading Nectar of Instruction, and that was the assignment. What's the first step in spiritual life? The first step is control of the senses. The control of the senses is irreversible if the mind is also controlled. Because it's the mind that drives the senses. Mana sashtanindriyani prakritisthani karshati. A person struggles in this world because of the mind, of the senses grouped around the mind. So one may artificially control one's senses. But if the mind has not been purified or controlled, then the senses will go back. This is the first lesson in the Nectar of Instruction. Because Parikshit Maharaj asks, what is it that after doing all this prayaschitta is a way of controlling the senses and atoning for the foolish use of the senses. He says, after doing all of this, why? Why does a person act against his own welfare? He says, ahitam. Why? And he says, to me, this back and forth of doing something foolish and then saying sorry for it and atoning it, and then voila, doing it again, is like the bathing of an elephant. And so that whole chapter begins with the chanting of the holy name to control the mind. So that's the first instruction we get. Cheto darpana marjanam. So when we chant the holy name to cleanse the mind of the wrong conceptions and instill proper conceptions, that's when the knot, karma bandhana, starts loosening. Meaning, on a day-to-day practical basis, these are not the stimulus for our activities. Sometimes, although people are expressing, when we offer or we exhibit certain devotional activities, if the conceptions don't become clear progressively, what we put out there is driven by these things. Meaning, the exhibition, the expression of the activities of bhakti, said differently, mixed devotional service, the mixture is these things: lust, anger, pride, greed, like that. And as the mind becomes cleaner, purer, then these things reduce. And that's what we're trying to cultivate as aspiring devotees, to cultivate a cleaner mind, a purer mind, not driven by these things. So if we recognize some of these things that are there, then it's important to know, oh, let that not be the reason for doing what I'm doing. Let my reason be higher, something purer. But that recognition will not come until we hear about what are the consequences of acting in that way. And even if, let's say, greed. Somehow greed manifests in the expression of our bhakti. Let's say one of the ways greed manifests is with the idea that more is better. So that's what the nature of greed is. More is better. So a devotee who may be struggling with the mind may think, the more services I have, the better I am as a devotee. And so then they compare themselves with others. How many services you have? How many services I have? Ah, I'm better. So although it's the one may be doing more or thinking that I'm doing more, it may be driven by greed. There is a purifying effect to it, no doubt. Yet, the heart is not satisfied. Because somewhere if we can recognize that something else is operating, then that's the area to work on. More is better, for example, like that. Anyway, I'll leave some for discussion and see what Himanshu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for your class. Really appreciating the discussion. So I was thinking about how our anarthas, they're kind of like hidden, you know?
They are hidden.
They are hidden.
Deep in the heart.
Right. So it's like some on days when like they're not so exposed, we're not so conscious of them. They're like, oh, this is devotional service is nice, I'm very satisfied. You go on and then boom, all of a sudden it's like, whoa, what's going on? You know, this anartha, that anartha. It's just so then we start, like you were describing, we start making intellectual adjustments, you know, adjust the mind, no. The mind presents different logics. And basically we struggle to see beyond it. So I was just wondering in the stage of sadhana, how does one learn to... Because one thing I've noticed through some recent experiences, that when this kind of thing happens, the mind immediately says, just see the process isn't working for you. Or like...
Isn't working for you.
Or just, like, what's the hope? You know, it's like, see how fallen you are, like... How are you ever going to get to that attainment? You know, it's just, you may as well just, you know...
Just quit and go.
Well, not quit and go, but like, what's the need of being so intense about it? You know, like anyways, it's, you know, it might take many lives. Like that, it's just, I don't know, the mind starts presenting a very logical approach to just being lackluster in your devotional service. And I was just, anyways, how to deal with that?
Well, that itself is another anartha. The shoka or moha working together. So we use one anartha to justify or rationalize the other one. Well, when one feels like that, what's the use of all this? Anyway, why be so intense? Then somehow, either through our own effort, I'm calling it effort, but you'll understand what I'm saying. Either through our own or by the help of someone, if we can consider the bridge that Lord Ramachandra is making to bring us back, meaning from Krishna's side, there is a lot of effort happening also. Krishna wants to see us relieved from this situation. And Krishna's representatives, the spiritual master and the sadhus, they're also working very hard to help us. And if that, if from their side, that reaching out did not happen, would we even know that we have anarthas? Would we have even ever considered that, oh, this is a problem? No. In fact, these words would not even be part of our lexicon. An anartha, a difficulty, or a struggle, or compassion. These things wouldn't make any sense. Like, what does that mean? Right? I know for myself. It was not even part of this entire range of thought. But because someone is making so much effort, that, when we consider, it begins the softening of the heart. That, okay, even if it takes lifetimes. That's right, it might take lifetimes. So what? But it is irreversible, and that's where I'm moving. I'm moving in the right direction. One lifetime at a time, that's fine. But at least let me be here. Okay, it's not in. What's the use of it? It's not about intensity from our side only that's working. It's the mercy of Krishna that's going to take us. So, am I actually even seeking that mercy? My intensity is to somehow get that, to access that mercy of Krishna. And therefore, I want it, because that mercy can take me, my effort cannot. And even if I try with all my effort, I cannot do this. So let me intensely ask for Krishna's mercy. That dose of, you know, yesterday I said it in a joking way, Ravana is the supreme personality of greed, and Lord Ramachandra is the supreme personality of love. That's the only thing that's going to take us on the other side. How much is being done for me, if we consider that? Hopefully that will give us the strength to not give in to, it's okay, what is pleasing to my spiritual master, or what is not pleasing? That cuts through the clutter. The Glen is, and then Acharya list.
Hare Krishna, thank you. The process, the analogy that came to my mind while you were speaking was like with swimming, and someone can really like swimming, have an interest in it, but that's not sufficient. They have to build their strength. So just swimming alone will help, but there's other things that they have to do along with it if they really want to be good in that sport. But what is my part? How do I open my heart? To say open my heart, it sounds really wonderful and true, but then I look at what do I know about it, and I don't know much.
Yeah, we don't know. So we take help from the lives of others. You know, that's why the shastras are filled. In Kali Yuga, it is described that the Puranas, the historical events of the personality of Godhead and his devotees, is far more important than the Shrutis, the Vedas. Because we are starting from a condition of a very, very broken, dysfunctional, hard heart. So what it needs is softening. It needs life, it needs juice in it. So we hear these pastimes. Yesterday's verse morning, Lord Maharaj was talking about Ramacharitam. When we hear about how Lord Ramachandra extends himself for all of his devotees, somewhere it will make a connection as we hear it. And therefore we hear it again and again. And yesterday's verse was, as we hear the characteristics, the character of Lord Ramachandra, it is supposed to free us of envy, because we're very busy in the material world, being envious, being driven by lust and greed and anger and pride and illusion. We don't have time. We don't have what's called mind space. No space at all in the mind for any of these things. So sitting down and hearing from great personalities like Srila Prabhupada and spiritual masters is the way we start giving some space in the mind for other considerations, the softer things of life. That is our part. Sit down and listen. Right? We were discussing the other day Bhaktivinoda Thakur's instruction. He says, if nothing else, just sit down next to a Vaishnava. Just sit. That's enough. Just sit there. And just by observing them, even if you don't inquire from, just observing, just being in that presence makes a big difference. So that's what we do. Our part is to give some mind space. Rest they will take care. Acharya Nishtha Prabhu.
Thank you, Bhu. This question has been coming as we've been discussing the pastimes with Lord Ramachandra. Maharaj has been emphasizing the quality of virtue in Ram's pastimes, how it's very attractive. So my question, my thought is that in Kali Yuga, because we're not, some of us are not trained with the proper understanding of virtue, we know that once the soul becomes degraded or contaminated, it becomes very difficult then to purify it, versus if it remains in a purified state. So because of the nature of perhaps our upbringing, or things like that, to develop the type of virtues that we're hearing about seems like this kind of monumental project or task. Yeah. And I'm also thinking that, for example, in the Ramayana, Lord Ram, he's very carefully following all the principles of Dharma. So for us, I'm thinking I'm not even so aware of the principles of Dharma. We hear a few basic ones, but it seems like a whole lifetime of training. Tradition they would be brahmachari for one to act properly, to not even, to take the right steps in life. For example, in the Christian tradition, you have something like the Ten Commandments. Okay, it's very, it's not a very clear religion, but they say, here's 10 principles you should follow. So in the Vedic culture, it seems like there's just like so much, there's books and volumes and libraries of principles. So to try to assimilate that from a degraded, upbringing, I'm trying to kind of put the pieces in line, because I see in my own heart these negative qualities are there, and so perhaps you can.
We take inspiration from not Lord Ramachandra following Dharma, but from the monkeys who assisted Lord Rama. That's where our inspiration actually is. The monkeys didn't know anything about virtue. They had no clue about what is dharma, what is this. They had no idea. Absolutely nothing. In fact, even Sugriva, the king of monkeys, he didn't fulfill his promise. Rama and Sugriva got together and they agreed to mutually help each other. Sugriva said, my brother kicked me out of my kingdom. He has taken away my wife, my kingdom, everything. And Rama said, Ravana took away my wife. So we'll help each other. And Lord Ramachandra, even his need was so strong, he put Sugriva's need first. He said, I'll help you first. And after killing Vali, Sugriva forgot that he promised to search for Sita Devi. He got his kingdom back. He was enjoying with his queen, Tara, and living a lavish, completely intoxicated, just life was just completely forgot. Lakshmana became so angry. Lord Ramachandra said, it's okay, give him some time. Although Rama didn't have any time, he was searching for Sita Devi. Lakshmana became very upset and he went charging to meet Sugriva. And he came with such anger, apparently it said that as Lakshmana was walking, the whole earth was trembling because Lakshmana was very angry. Hanuman met him and he knew that Lakshmana is coming. So he ran to Sugriva and woke him up from his, drunken stupor and said, fix yourself quickly because Lakshmana is coming, he's going to kill you. You haven't fulfilled your promise. He took a bath. And before Lakshmana could say anything, Sugriva came and said, we're ready with the search party. I said, oh, okay. Otherwise I would have killed you right now. So what do we know of dharma? We have, even gratitude is really, it's a struggling thing to work with. But we have Guru and Krishna's unlimited patience that helps us move. So that's from a pastime. Our inspiration comes from monkeys and bears, because that's where the the potency of Lord Ramachandra to bring everyone together, to get monkeys to work with each other, to get them to do anything. If what to speak of a monumental task of building a bridge. A monkey is described, whenever we take the example of a monkey, for what? The shortest attention span, right? Before you say something, the monkey is gone away. But he used such persons. So there are many dharmas. This is the question that the sages asked. Suta Goswami also. Can you please tell us, from all of the Vedic instructions, what is the most important instruction? Savaipam samparo dharma yato bhaktira dokshaje. So, yato bhaktira dokshaje is, we may not know certain rules and what certain, we don't know any rules and stuff. But our considerations are what is pleasing to Guru and Krishna. Everything else falls in line from there. It's that one thing that everything follows behind. Therefore, you see, Prabhupada never got us caught into this, you know, myriad of rules and regulations. He gave us to chant, offer food to Krishna, that's where the mind starts becoming clear. There's no other way. We would not be able to study Manu Samhita. It's impossible. Even if we were to study Manu Samhita, we can't apply it. Like that. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Premanand.